Father, we thank you for your word and ask you to bless us abundantly to know the power of your love in our lives, God, that'll lead and direct our steps, that'll keep us on the path, that'll have us to do the things that you want us to do and not the things that we want to do, God. We spend enough of our times doing the things of the Gentiles, as your word says. Now we want to do what your word has us for us, and we want to do exactly the... God, the truth is we just don't want to miss any blessing that you have for us, God, and I think we've missed so many at this point. We just want to move forward knowing that we'll do exactly what you've told us to. In Christ's name, amen. 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 The Apostle Paul, in the book of Colossians, if you've not been joining us, he wrote this book from a Roman prison instructing the churches. The Colossians, along with, it'll come to me, Galatians, is one of the churches that he did not start personally, but sent representatives to that city and a church was started. And as so, what will happen as the message of the original Moses-type figure gets watered down, the churches can seem to lose its zeal for Christ and more get a zeal for self. Chuck Smith, when he started Calvary Chapel Movement in the 60s, he had his original quote-unquote disciples around him, and they were serious. John Corson, on fire for 30-plus years, gave the word of God without fear and without apprehension. And man, there was like, at one point, these guys were so serious about it. But what happened was, is the grandfather... There's an old saying, God has no grandchildren. And in our desire to raise our children having it better than we have it ourselves, this crazy thing happens. Their relationship with God gets somehow watered down. Somehow they lose the zeal that we had, probably because they haven't experienced the things that we experienced. The depravity of our own hearts, the struggling with our own mouths and minds and eyes. They have things so good, so easy for themselves. Why do they need God? They figure for themselves, I'm not so bad. Never found themselves face down in the gutter, thank God. But thank God turns into, maybe it would have been better for them. It's a crazy thing that happens in our hearts. Amen to that, parents? Amen. We want to give our kids better than we have it ourselves, but one thing we can't give them that we want to give them so much is the desperation for the Lord. This, I believe, is what happened. And I'll tell you why. Keep your place here because we're going to come back. I want you to turn to Revelation chapter 3. We're going to pick it up in verse 14. Last book of the Bible, all the way to the right, before your concordance and your dictionary, if you have one of those Bibles. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 14. Amen. If you're there, please. And these things, I'm sorry, and to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write. Give me your attention before I read to you. Let me explain what it is. At the end of the age, the apostle John put on the island of Patmos, so sick of him was Nero Caesar that he put him on an island. And in case you don't know, it's not in the Bible, but church history says, before he sent him to the Isle of Patmos, he boiled him in oil, but the son of a gun wouldn't die. So he said, I am sick of this guy. So they put him on an island called Patmos, and here he had a revelation, the revelation. And the Lord Jesus appeared to him as the Lord would appear in the end. And here, in chapter 2 and 3, he writes these letters to the churches. Now, some say these churches are different churches that exist today. Some say they're in chronological order. Some have very different opinions on what these letters are, but all of them are applicable to us personally and as a movement of the churches. And here, verse 14, to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Who's he speaking of? the Lord Jesus. These things says the Lord Jesus. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. What is that? Everybody quotes that verse. They think they know it. Well, what is it to be lukewarm? That is the question. I mean, if you judge yourself against the Apostle Paul, aren't we all lukewarm? And is it not only the Holy Spirit who could kind of tell us when we're lukewarm? Nobody else knows the struggles that you go through. Nobody else knows how far you've come. You might be on fire for the Lord. And to somebody else, it might look like lukewarm, but they don't know what you've been through. But you know what you've been through. And you know what abilities you have. And you know how the Lord is tugging on your heart. And you know how you've kicked against the goads. And you know how you have the strength to do more, but you're lazy in the spirit. And somewhere between there, there's that line of demarcation between a trip of works and yet knowing God has more for me. And only God can show you that. And I don't want to be the one sitting here saying, you are lukewarm. No, I don't know what you're going through. Here's what I know. And I'm afraid it's Jordan Peterson. If anybody ever listens to Jordan Peterson, he had this one amazing lecture. He said, the best way to keep moving forward at the fastest pace is to visualize the existential threat of your life a step behind you. To think, what is it that is behind you that keeps you moving forward? And if you will visualize the worst fear, the worst threat, the worst thing that could happen to you is one step behind you, you'll keep going forward. It's an excellent, I recommend Jordan Peterson's work highly. And he needs your prayers right now. He's going through some struggles too, if you're a Jordan Peterson fan. So the way I do it is I keep my existential threat behind me. I'm afraid of screwing my whole life up. I've said this before, and you guys might not know it. Being a pastor, being a senior pastor, I don't get the quarter that you guys get. I don't get the space, the room. My life is walking on the edge of a knife every single day. I can't get into somebody in an argument in traffic and smack them in the mouth. I can't touch anything that God has not given me. I have a wife, 30 years. I can't even lay my lips on something that's not mine. There is no quarter. I can't flinch a dime. You can't find out, wow, Ryan gets paid and he took a little more. Never. Not even a little. I get no quarter. And I like that because that's what I need. The existential threat of losing everything. And if you don't know my wife, she won't put up with it. There ain't no like forgiveness. Oh, I understand you're a man, you struggle. My daughters will dig the hole and they'll bury me in it. So then, verse 16, because you are lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. What does that mean? That almost sounds like you can be saved but then lose your salvation. I mean, what does that mean? I don't get it. This is too ambiguous for me because I was always taught once saved, always saved. I was always taught you can't be snatched out of the hand of the Father. I could quote all these verses. What is the Lord talking about there? We quoted from this book, A Tale of Three Kings, a few weeks ago. Remember, I read a bunch of chapters from it? And there's a great line in that book Eugene Edwards wrote. He said, man doesn't know the answer to those questions. Only God knows. And guess what? He ain't telling. Verse 17, because you say I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and that you do not know that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Now, I don't want to start picking on them or anything like that. I think I spent enough time doing that. But it could be. He's sounding an awful lot like big churches to me. They got the buildings. They got the schools. They got the bookstores. They got the restaurants. But they ain't got the spirit. You think you're rich, you think you're wealthy, you think you're, in the Lord's eyes, you're blind, you're wretched, you're naked. Whew. That's an indictment, man. That is a tough, tough indictment. Verse 18, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. And here he says something great. I love God. He says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. That's pretty cool. You ever have your butt kicked by God and wonder, man, does God still love me? God's like, are you kidding me? I wouldn't kick your butt if I didn't love you. I mean, if I didn't like my granddaughter, when she walks around with a knife and tries to put it in that thing there, I'd be like, yeah, have fun. No, I smacked that hand. You don't do that, silly. You got hurt. Some of the outside world, you know, the CNN watchers might look and go, oh, that's horrible. Really, let me... She wants to do it. It's in her heart to do that. That's not the heart of a good, good father. The heart of a good, good father beats his children when he needs to. And I thank God that God doesn't treat me as I deserve. God chastens me. He says, okay, if you want to get a little shock, you can get a little shock. But I wouldn't do that if I was you. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he will, and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. You can read all of those later on, and you know, you can pull so many lessons from them, the personal lessons and the church lessons, and there's so many things there. But why did I read that to you guys? Go back to Colossians. You hear who he's talking to? Let's read verse 1 again of chapter 2. I want you to know what great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea. He's like, I'm seeing things that I don't want to see. I'm hearing things that I don't want to hear. What do you guys, Shangata in the head? What do I got to do to you? I know we got a lot of visitors here. And I don't always say these things, but we got to preach what word is in front of us. I come from a big church. I got saved in a big church. And at the time, the church was not big because it was not good because it was big. It was good. It was big because it was good. But something happened. It became good because it was big. And that's a recipe for major disaster. You guys feeling what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
So Paul says here, if you're worried about being the church in Laodicea, let me set things straight before that happens. Because what we're reading here is probably written, oh goodness, I don't know, but it was written way before what we just read was written. So if you don't heed the words of the Apostle Paul in chapter 2 of Colossians, you will become the words of the Lord Jesus Christ of Revelation chapter 3 and 14, the church in Laodicea. So if you liked any of those things, if you didn't like any of those things I said that the Lord Jesus said, really tune in now. If you're worried about being lukewarm, if you're worried about being poor, broke, wretched, blind, naked, tune in now. Here's the rest. Here's the remedy. Again, I'll read the first verse. For I want you to know what great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea. And for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh. You see what I said there? The reason he says I've not seen my face in the flesh is because the Apostle Paul actually never went to these churches. It was a quote-unquote grandson of the faith. a grandson of the faith that was sent out, and maybe the message got watered down. Maybe it's kind of intoxicating, y'all. It is. It's nice when you're standing up here and you see a lot of people and you get lots of emails and text messages. Oh, bro, great message, man. I was incredible. What a church you got, man. Oh, my goodness. You preach, man. Would you come and teach at our church? Would you? Oh, man, is that intoxicating. Maybe someday that'll happen to me. Don't happen. Not at all. You have no idea what happens in my house. Honey, did you say that, Jimmy? That their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, and attaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Let me, as him setting down the first aspect of this remedy, he says, listen, don't ever forget what we're about. Don't ever forget what we're about. We're about the Father sending his Son to die. He bled. He was crucified. He was railroaded. He was unmercifully beaten. Now, why do I say it like that? I'm going to tell you why. Because I don't know where you all went to church, go to church, or have been to church, but you know a lot of churches don't have no more crosses. A lot of churches don't mention blood, and if the song's got blood in it, let's not talk about it. We have to have nice messages about your best life ever. Tell me something nice. Encourage me. Tell me how much money I could have. We have to have warm and welcoming churches. Churches where people feel good about being there. When a church exists to be a church, guys, it's over. What my job is as pastor, according to the scriptures, is to encourage the saints to do the work of the ministry. And I want to make anybody here as uncomfortable as I can so that if your butt has been warming one of those seats for, say, more than a year and you ain't serving God yet, please go warm somebody else's church. Because I don't need your tithes. I don't need your attendance. I don't need nobody to be here and encourage me. I work a day job. Always gonna. And I encourage any pastor I know. Do you know how many calls I've gotten from people? As a senior pastor now for more than 15 years, I'm getting some, oh, bro, things are so tight. I don't know what to do. How's your guys tithing? Is your benevolence fund? You know what I say to every one of them? Get a freaking job, Jack! I got an idea. Work. Oh, I just got thrown out of a text chain. It was horrible. It's terrible. 13 local pastors were on a text chain, and they send encouraging words out. And I told them all if they didn't open their churches, they should go become a government serf. I am offended that you'd say that. Sheeple? You know what a serf is? S-E-R-F? Johnny, you have a phone in front of you that you look every word I say up and send me texts during the service. When I go back to my office, I see all the things that I said wrong listed on my phone that you tell me. Ryan, you said that word wrong. Ryan, that's not what that means. Ryan, that's not that church. Ryan, that was the wrong verse. Ryan. No, I'm not going to take you off the text. So he wants us to stay grounded. He wants us to remember that it's all the wisdom and the knowledge that we find in Father, God, and Christ. Verse 4. Now this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. For though I am absent in the flesh, I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. Persuasive words. If did you just show him that? It's good. Good. For us, if anybody here doesn't know the Lord, if you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you thought crap was bad before, if you think things are tough without, if you want the whole world and hell to hate you, accept Christ as your Savior and dedicate your heart to Him. However, accept Christ as your Savior and you change your destination from hell to heaven. Accept Christ as your Savior and you'll have a purpose in your life you never imagined. If you thought wrestling, jiu-jitsu, if you thought MMA, if you thought trying to sell a house or being a house mom was hard, try to do it when all hell is against you. But there is nothing at the end of the day when as Christ, you put your head down on that pillow and you said to yourself at the end of that day, God, I served you with what I could today, with what you put in front of me. Now give me sweet sleep. The number one drug sold on the face of the planet are sleep drugs. More so than any other drug, people cannot sleep because their lives have no purpose. So they pound energy drinks looking for purpose. I had a friend of mine just a couple of weeks ago. He was kind of like a business associate. We did a lot of business together. He was 37 years old, and he was kind of like a, I don't want to sound weird about it, but he was kind of like a super fan. Oh, bro, someday I want to grow up and have business like you. Like, you're grown up and you're doing good. But oh, man, and he would come over and he'd hang out with us, and he started doing the same type of business I'm doing. And for you guys that don't know me, I breed lizards. Yes, I breed lizards. And he was breeding lizards, and he would produce them and show me this, and we'd work together on projects. And about 3 or 4 weeks ago, I got a call from his woman and said that he died. So what are you talking about? I was with him a week before that. And it was kind of weird because he said some funny things to me about me wanting to have, I want you to have all my animals if I die. I'm like, what are you talking about? You're 37 years old. Let's talk about lizards, man. And we didn't talk about lizards. All we did was talk about God the whole time. All we did was talk about God and the government and all that stuff. And, huh? He would pray with me. He would let me pray for him. But can I say that he was on fire? Could I say he was lukewarm? I don't know, man. Chrissy, I just don't know. I certainly hope so. I have no regret. I'm not sitting here saying, hey, you know, I did what I can do. You know, I can show them the water. I just can't shove it down their throat. You know what I'm saying? I was a witness for the Lord to him just a week before. Now, here's what happened, so you guys know. And then I'm saying this for a very specific reason, not just for the people that are in your life, but here's why. The kid with OCD, he would decide he wants to build all these new cages in his backyard. So he'd go to the store and he'd get like 3 6-packs of Bang. And he'd work like 30, 40 hours straight building cages and then feeding his lizards, and then he'd sleep for 2 days. Because once he started something, he just couldn't stop. I can't sleep, man. I try to lay down. It's not restful sleep. So he just drink those, you know, Bang is the energy drinks. And apparently he started having some heart issues, and he started going to the doctor, but because coronavirus, you can't get in to see a doctor, especially if it's not an emergency. He says, man, I'm feeling this anxiety in my heart. Well, he did it again. He called his girlfriend up, and he said, hey, I got to finish these cages. And she said, oh, I don't want you to do that again. No. So he did. She told me for like 3 days straight, he sat up just building cages, resetting up his backyard, and for 3 days just drinking energy drinks and doing that. And she said he called her and said, listen, I finished the last cage. I'm going to take out what we do to feed our animals. We buy all chicken parts. We buy chicken hearts and gizzards, and we put them in a meat grinder and add some vitamins to it, and that's how we feed our animals. And he said he took out all this chicken meat and said, I'm going to take a nap, and when I wake up, I'm going to feed. And he did not get up. Father found him like 2 days later. It's a horrible, horrible situation. I'm just, you know, the stuff that makes you shake your head and go, Lord, I don't get this. I hope this makes sense on the other side of heaven. So if you all are pounding them energy drinks, there's some stuff they ain't telling you about them, guys. Be careful. And if you know somebody who comes in and out of your life, I implore you, tell them what you believe and why you believe it. You can't save them. Only God can do that. But I don't want you to go through what I'm going through right now. And it's exactly what Chrissy's talking about. Man, I hope I... Did I miss something? You know, I prayed for the kid a lot. And I mean, I put my hands on him when I saw him and prayed for him. You know, he knew what I was about. But maybe I should have done more to find out what he was about. I don't know. Maybe, maybe not. You're always going to have regret on stuff like that. But you all know what I'm talking about. Verse 5 in the same chapter. For though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus as Lord, one, so walk in him, two, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, three, as you have been taught, four, abounding in it with thanksgiving, five. Five things that exist in the relationship. You can read them over and over again and still pull new things out of it. However, briefly and quickly, you receive Christ Jesus as your Lord. That's not the end of it. It might be the end of your destination being hell, but let me tell you something, guys. There's nothing worse than having Christ as your Lord and Savior and then living the rest of your life in misery because being in the world isn't fun and don't feel good anymore, but not having abundant life in Christ and having fulfillment, that is the worst. Whenever I see a depressed believer suffering from what only people in the world should suffer from, it breaks my heart because I know, and I've said this 1,000 times, I'm never going to stop, we have 5 chips. We have 5 bullets. We have 5 smooth stones that should always be in our pocket every single day as believers. 1, prayer. We should not let a day go by without praying. 2, reading the Bible. We should have a daily devotion where we nourish our spirit in a little bit of word, whether that's a couple of chapters or a little devotion. 3, worship. One of the greatest days of my life, and I'm telling you as a musician, I was in a rock band for more than 10 years, traveled all around the country. The best day of my life was when I pulled my truck back to a dumpster and threw away all of my trash music. It did me no good. I worshiped that music. 1, 2, 3. Music, worship is so important to the nourishment of your... And then 4 is fellowship. Staying grounded in a church is so important. The Bible says those who are planted in the house of the Lord will still be bearing fruit in their old age. The Bible says, do not forsake the gathering of the brethren. This is the manner of some, so much the more as you see the day approaching. But what if there's coronavirus in there? I'd rather be dead. I'm not afraid of death. I'm not saying the coronavirus is make-believe. I'm just saying I'd rather be dead and sitting at home in fear of getting it. And 5, sharing your faith. Just stuff I'm talking about with this kid Eric. You know, I hope I share my faith enough with him. Those 5 things every day will chase away anything. Receiving Christ. So walk in him. That's what I'm talking about. Rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, so you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving, that was the exact opposite of every single thing that ever existed in my life. I had it coming. It was mine. If I didn't get it, I would take it. I wanted it. I needed it. No matter how many accomplishments I had in the flesh, it was never enough. Never thankful. Never thankful. What a difference. What a difference. Continuing. Very, very important here, and I'm going to turn the left turn here, guys, and I know I'm going to go a little bit longer than normal. Listen to this. This is a complete... What time is it? Yeah, I still got time. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of this world, and not according to Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. There's three schools of thought when it comes to psychoanalysis. There's a biblical purist, there's an integrationalist, and then there's a secular psychology. Does anybody know the godfather of psychology, Sigmund Freud? Read about his life, and then you'll wonder why anybody follows anything that wackadoo says. I happen to be a Bible purist. However, there are scientific things that need to be addressed when it comes to the psychology of every single person who has potential chemical imbalances. Stay with me. Perhaps I'm speaking to you when I said, maybe you're saved, but you're depressed. Maybe the dopamine levels in your head and the serotonin levels in your head are imbalanced, causing you depression. There are ways of fighting depression in the spirit and in the flesh that coexist. I am not a believer anymore in saying you don't need medication. Medication is for those who don't have faith. I used to be that stupid. That is not the truth. But again, beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit according to the traditions of this world and not according to Christ. For in him is the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you're complete in him. And he is the head of all principality and all power. And here's why this is important. Some people have bad serotonin levels or bad dopamine levels because of the way they don't take care of themselves. And some of that can easily be fixed with a little bit of exercise and a little bit of diet adjustment. Some people have bad serotonin levels and bad dopamine levels because of the way they were brought up. Parents who never tell their children no do not understand what it's like. So they exist their whole life to have what sociologists call a dopamine ping. A dopamine ping. Let me explain to you what a dopamine ping is. If you're on Facebook, which I have no social media at all whatsoever, personally, I don't believe in it. I don't want my kids to have it. However, if you have it, use it wisely. I decide to stay married, so I don't want it. Every time you get a Facebook like, ping, they know that gives you a dopamine ping. If you were at a party and you and somebody shared a picture of you at this party and it sends you a little red dot, check your messages. Oh, you were at the party. Ping, somebody, what do they call that? Pinned you or something? Those are dopamine pings. And don't think that wasn't set up by Zuckerberg and his ilk. They know what makes your kids tick. And they take full advantage of it. They know. And I'll tell you how you could tell. You have a bone right here at the base of your neck. It's your C6 vertebrae. This whole generation's C6 vertebrae sticks out an inch and a half to 2 inches more than the previous generation. You want to know why? That ain't no joke. It's not like a funny ha-ha thing. Beware lest anyone cheat you. So maybe you're depressed here. What do you do about it? Well, there's a few things the sociologists, and I'm talking about the psychoanalysts, will say that you don't do. The first thing you don't do is hide yourself away. The Bible says a man who isolates himself seeks his own desire, he rages against all wise judgment. The second thing you don't do, and this is probably the biggest, you don't drink alcohol. The worst thing a depressed person can do. You will find out that those that commit suicide, those who commit murders, that the statistics of those who commit mass murder and suicide are so astronomically bent toward those who are either on psych meds or alcohol, it's like they should come out and tell you, listen, 90%, if you don't want to commit suicide, don't drink, don't go on psychotropic meds. It's the numbers are that bad, guys. Check me. One of the things they also say that you should do as a depressed person, and this is crazy, go outside in the sun a lot. Because the sun has vitamin D3, and there is so much study that says vitamin D3 will increase your serotonin levels. Just a simple matter of catching some sun. Yes, even you black folk. You will increase your serotonin levels. Just being in the sun. And now the last one, and for my money is most important, this is me, is you gotta exercise. All work and no play makes Jack a depressed boy. You gotta get your heart rate up to 120, 140 beats per minute at least 4 to 5 times a week. And if you're not doing that and you're depressed, you ain't helping yourself none. Now, spiritually speaking, if you're not reading your word, spending time in prayer, worshiping, man, then here's the question then I ask you. Do you want to help yourself? You're not going to do the physical, you're not going to do the spiritual. Do you want to help yourself? Do you like this misery you're in? What did the Alcoholics Anonymous, Narcotics Anonymous guys say? You got to get sick and tired of being sick and tired. And don't let me not even word it my way. Let me word it God's way. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit according to the traditions of this world and not according to Christ. For in him is all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you're complete in him because he's the head of all principalities and all powers. He will not let the enemy destroy you, but you got to get up underneath him. You gotta lift the shield of faith to quench every fiery dart of the wicked one. If you don't, then what are you doing? What are we doing? In him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands. By putting off... I gotta finish this. I'm probably gonna stop here too, because this is important. Matter of fact, close your Bible. I'm not going further than that right now. Here's why. When I grew up in the church, do you know what the number one biggest ministry they had? They had hundreds of people in the ministry of this church. You know what it was? Counseling. The counseling ministry at my original church had hundreds of volunteers. And yet the guy that taught the biblical counseling class taught the exact same thing I just told you. You have to be a Bible purist. Don't be an integrationalist, and certainly don't be a worldly psychoanalyst. Don't send people to get put on medication. If you stuff your kid full of medication, don't be surprised when his levels are all messed up. When he grows up and he's all jacked up. Yeah, but the kid's too active. My kids, when I was growing up, they called it hyperactivity. Now they call it OCD. I'm sorry, ADD. Then they added to it ADHD. And when I took biblical counseling from John Cinelli back in the 90s, the first thing he does is hand out a test to everybody. I want you guys all to take this test. We all take the test, and next week we go back and he goes, we have 106 people in here, and 95 of you are ADHD. Congratulations. Like, duh, we didn't know that? That's how bad these tests are. If we tested all you in here, I guarantee you three-quarters or more would be tested. And so what is the reaction to that? Well, you should read your Bible. You should spend a little less time watching TV. You certainly shouldn't drink. You should be active. Get out in the sun. No, here's a better idea. Let's put some Ritalin in the kid. Let's give him some medication. You need Xanax. That's what you need. Just a half. Why would you do that before you've done the others? Why? You get an infection in your finger. Do you cut your finger off? Or do you first treat it? You know what? Let me massage it. Let me soak it in some water. No, of course. Hey, bro, can you pray for me? My hand's messed up. Well, God doesn't heal fingers. He only, like, heals big stuff. Heard a story about a guy stuck in his car. Called his buddy to come pick him up. And he's like, hey, man, did you pray first? He's like, you don't pray about a car. The battery's dead. The car is dead. You understand? I will pray that I have enough money when I go to the store to buy the new battery. So let me pray for you. Prays, start your car. Start. He goes, see? The cable must have been loose or something. Of course, maybe it was. And God tightened the cable for you, stupid. Just to show you, there's nothing you don't pray about. God is just as much in control of cars as he is in... Now, that's not to say next time you break down, if you pray, your car will be fixed. Why not? Maybe God let your car break down so you can witness to the guy that picks you up. Or maybe he's trying to teach you a lesson, maintain your car better. Who knows why? But is not everything ordained by God? You got to beware lest anyone cheat you. The first time I talked to Ken Graves, Ken's been my pastor now for the past 20 years. First time I went to his church, I asked him about his counseling ministry. You know what he said to me? What counseling ministry? I said, well, when people say they're having marriage problems, what do you tell them? Tell them to pray together and read the Bible together. Yeah, but some people have deeper problems than that. That God can't fix. Yeah. Why did that church have hundreds of volunteers in the counseling? I don't understand. Why didn't we at least first tell them, pray together, read the Bible together, go to church together? Why did we do that? Who told? When the guy that's teaching biblical counseling is telling us, biblical purists first. First handle everything in the spirit before you consult the flesh. And here we were. I have a problem. Okay, well, let me make you an appointment next Tuesday at 7 o'clock. Beware. We ain't going to become the Church of Laodicea. We will not be told that we're lukewarm. Certainly gonna be told that we're rich. That's not gonna happen. Have I mentioned it's a good time to tithe? I'm joking, I don't care. The rent's paid for the next couple of months. I hope this is for somebody here that's important. Whatever it is, God's got the fix, man. He's got the fix. Or, and this is great part about God, he's put the fix inside you already. And you need to just tap into it. The Bible says the same power that raised Christ from the dead lives in you. But you want somebody who has a 6-year degree that says, whatever on it, and you want to go to them and pay them $100 an hour. Last story I'm going to tell you. I'm going to screw the story up, but I want you to catch the gist of it. Jordan Peterson, he told this amazing story. They took 300 people. Now, I might mess up some of these numbers, so before God, I apologize if I mess up the numbers, but I want you to catch the gist of this. I just remembered it, so I'm not going to remember it right, and I didn't go over the numbers. But they took 300 people who said they wanted to go to counseling. 300 people who said they needed counseling. And they questioned them over the course of a year. And in the course of a year, out of those 300 people who said they needed counseling, about 100 of them went to counseling. Out of the 100 that went to counseling, after a year, almost 68 of them, 67, 68 of them, were still going to counseling. The others stopped going to counseling. The other 200 never went to counseling. And out of those 200, 180 of them said they didn't need counseling anymore. Did you hear that? If you go to somebody for counseling and you're paying them to go to counseling, what would behoove them to tell you you don't need counseling anymore? You're paying me $100 an hour. Hey, guys, just so you know, I do marriage counseling. I do every marriage counseling in the church. No problem. I do it. But expect to be told, pray together, read together. I'll do that. I do pre-marriage counseling also. And you know what I tell the couples? Pray together, read together, go to church together. Well, we're having problems in our marriage. Well, I noticed you haven't come to church in about a month. Yeah, we were fighting a lot. So you decided to stop going to church? There was this guy who used to have a church on the other side of Pompano, on the other side of, I think it was in Coconut Creek. Big church! Matter of fact, they liked him so much they made him a senior pastor of another church. And he got caught sleeping around, slept around. And I'm not talking about Bob, I'm talking about another guy. And you know what he said the reason was? My wife did it first. No joke. And I thought to myself, well, if I caught my wife cheating, I might kill her, but I don't think I'd cheat on her because I wouldn't. You can't return. Like, what happened to your relationship in Christ? Is that what it was? My relationship with God is good as long as my relationship with my wife is good. No, that can't be like that. It's got to be like, hey, listen, you screw up, you screw up. But yes, my wife, she'll tell you, I will do anything my husband tells me to do except sin. I submit in every way to my husband, but I ain't going to sin for him because there's somebody more important to me than him. That's the whole idea here. So when we have this, again, out of the 100 people that went to counseling, 68 of them were still going to counseling at a minimum of $100 an hour. 200 didn't go to counseling, and out of that, the majority of them said they didn't need counseling anymore. So not going to counseling had better results than those who went to counseling. You catching that? Yeah, God can fix. And these weren't Christians, guys. These were just worldly people. Who knows if some of them were Christians or not? He didn't delineate whether they were. But this is a real study. Anyway, okay. I'm done. We'll pick it up next week where we left off. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for your word. And I pray by the power of your spirit, if there's somebody here that is depressed, your word would pull them up out of the ashes of that depression, God. Make them rise up like a phoenix because your spirit is upon them, God. And they would know you spoke a word to them today, a word of wisdom and knowledge. God, I pray over this church and these people that are here hearing this message that they would beware lest anyone cheat them through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the traditions of this world, according to the basic principles of this world, and not according to Christ. For in him is the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and we are complete in you, who is the head of all principality and power. God bless us, that we would never, ever, ever become personally or corporately like the church in Laodicea. May we be on fire for you, God, ready to give you a word, knowing, grounded, firm in the faith, knowing that you are our good, good Father, and that your Son died and bled for our sins. May we never, ever forget that. May we never be a church to be a church, God. We love you, and we're here to serve you. These things we ask in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. I'll see you all tonight at the beach.